look at off the bat here. First one is Isaiah 43:1. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Let no one leave here unchanged by the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Great verse, huh? We ended in Sunday school with that adoption statement, and he says, you're mine. Luke chapter 12, verse 7. Jesus speaking, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. We're God's. Or more valuable. Those are the two ending statements, and in there are the statements that we are to fear not. Fear not. I want to talk about the fruit of fear this morning, and we're going to look at some phobias. You know what a phobia is? It's a fear of certain things, and man has given them all names. Isn't that something? I think that sometimes naming things is a thing of the devil, you know. It's kind of like when you hear someone say cancer, you know, it's like the word is scary. It's the word, you know. And I mean, I'm not making light of it, obviously. I'm just saying that everything has to bow to Jesus, no matter what the word is, you know. So we're going to look at these fancy words for fear, these phobias. Some of the most common ones, arachnophobia. What? Spiders, right? Just shout it out if you know it. Ophidiophobia, fear of snakes. Acrophobia, A-C-R-O, fear of heights. Lloyd got it. Aerophobia. Flying, right. Cynophobia. That's one you don't hear about. Roar, roar, fear of dogs. C-Y-N-O. Cynophobia. I guess I'm saying that right. Astrophobia is the fear of thunder and lightning. My dog Vina has astrophobia. Astrophobia. Astra. Yeah. Trypanophobia, the fear of injections. Get that needle away from me. Social phobia involves the fear of social situations. And I added to my notes here from the what I read. Quite deliberating, most common form of social phobia is the fear of public speaking. When God called me in the ministry, I had social phobia. I've gotten over that. Agoraphobia is the fear of being alone in a situation or place where escape may be difficult. Agoraphobia. A-G-O-R. Agoraphobia. Well, I don't know. This is what it said, unless I... Agoraphobia, yeah. It says being alone in a situation or place where escape may be difficult is what they say. It says approximately one-third of the people with panic disorders develop agoraphobia if they have a panic, whatever that is, yeah. Mysophobia is an excessive fear of germs or dirt. This can lead people to engage in extreme cleaning, compulsive hand washing, and even avoidance of things and situations perceived as dirty. Parenthesis, monk. He said it before I got to it in my notes, right? Has everybody seen Monk at least once? Really? Paniaphobia is the fear of poverty. Autophobia, A-U-T-O, has nothing to do with cars. Autophobia, also called eremophobia or islophobia, is the fear of isolation, fear of being alone. Androphobia, fear of man, an abnormal or persistent fear of men. Suffered many anxieties, even though they realize they may face no real danger. And that's what a lot of these are, is, you know, there's no real danger. Yeah, exactly. Many specific phobias can be traced back to a specific triggering event. And they say many, that doesn't mean all of them, but some of them, usually a traumatic experience at an early age. I've heard that a lot of times people with a fear of heights, maybe they, as a baby, they almost fell, or someone, like they almost dropped the kid or something, you know. Whether or not that's true, I don't think you can say that 100%, but as with many phobias, the symptoms vary by person to person depending upon the level of fear. The symptoms typically include extreme anxiety, dread, anything associated with panic such as shortness of breath, rapid breathing, irregular heartbeat, excessive sweating, dry mouth, nausea, inability to articulate words or sentences, and shaking. Now, this is my statement, not everybody's. Everyone has some kind of hang-up and possible phobias, but they may not all recognize it. I think everybody has a certain degree of fear. Why would God put fear not 365 times in the Bible if it wasn't a pretty common ailment at some junction in different people's lives? You know, I respected my father. The man had nerves of steel. Nothing bothered him. And I thought, man, I wish I could have been like my dad, you know. Just nothing bothered him. He wasn't afraid of anybody or anything. But the rest of us are not always like that. You know, thinking back of my childhood, my mother, I think, had several phobias. When I was in the seventh grade, she had a nervous breakdown. And after that, she seldom went out of the house. That's that agoraphobia, I think, and then possibly even the social phobias as well. Of course, Carolyn has a fear of heights. Right after we got married, we went to Six Flags Over Texas, and I took her. She likes roller coasters. I said, how can you have a fear of heights and like roller coasters? She said, I closed my eyes. But they have this thing at Six Flags. They call it an oil derrick. It looks like a little mini Eiffel Tower, kind of. You know, it's all just steel girders and grids. There's no closed. So we take the elevator off. We step up to the observation thing, and she slides right on down on her bottom. And I'm like, well, I didn't know her that well. You know, I was like, what's the matter? She goes, I'll be all right. Just look out and then holler when you're done or something. So, you know, this is a serious thing that people deal with when they have these phobias. But I'm not really talking about fear this morning. I'm talking about the fruit of fear. Things people do or do not do because of the fear. See, and that's where the problem resides. It's one thing to have a fear of something. It's another thing when it affects you in a negative way or causes you to do or not do certain things that can bring about harm. A good example would be a person has a fear of flying. And because they don't fly, they don't make it to this big family reunion. And grandpa dies a month later, and they don't get to see grandpa. And then they see the pictures of it, and they cry and say, I wish I could have been there. You know, and this is all stuff I'm making up, but it could happen. Because the fruit of their fear kept them from being a part of something that they wanted to be a part of. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the fruit of fear, about things in our life that we suffer because of fear. And I can see that person, like I said, in my little fictitious thing about the fear of flying, maybe even getting depressed and angry because they see the pictures of the family reunion and say, I wish I could have been there. And people might say, well, that's just silly. Why didn't you, you know, get on a plane? You know. And so the fruit of fear can hamper the quality of life. That's the word I'm looking for. So with that being said, I want to look at three of these phobias and see what the Bible has to say about them. I'm going to start with androphobia, which is the fear of man. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of thee? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then in Matthew 10:28, he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy the body and soul in hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Matthew 10:28. And the other one was Deuteronomy 10:12. So here in Deuteronomy, he says, fear the Lord. And in Matthew 10:28, he says, don't fear people. The worst they can do is kill you, but fear God who can kill you and then throw you into hell, right? Now, the fear of man is a lack of trust in the Lord. I don't have a long sermon, so I'm going to repeat these in each of these three categories. The fear of man is a lack of trust in the Lord. If I trust the Lord, what can man do to me? That's what the scripture says. In fact, it says, I think it's in Hebrews, that we may boldly say, what can man do to me? You don't get that kind of boldness by not trusting in the Lord. You have to trust in the Lord. The trust you have in the Lord is the answer to the fear of man. Now, this is not about healing phobias, because that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not presuming to say if you just quote a scripture every day and click your heels together three times, your phobias will go away. I am here to say that if you give in to them, there may be some undesirable consequences. Now, I want to look at a story in 2 Chronicles. I don't have it in my notes, so I'm going to turn there with you. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And the king of Israel at this time was King Asa. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to just read a couple of verses. There's a prophet that comes to him and has a word from the Lord. So we're going to look at verses, beginning of verse 7, 2 Chronicles 16:7. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you've done foolishly, therefore, from now on you shall have wars. And so here, Asa, there was a time in his life where he trusted the Lord. Remember I said the fear of man is a lack of trust in the Lord? And so there was a time in his life where he trusted the Lord. And the prophet says, you know, don't you remember back when you trusted the Lord, the Ethiopians and the Lubians, how they had this huge army, but God took care of them for you because you trusted in the Lord. But now you come to an area in your life where you're not really trusting in the Lord. You're trusting in man. And you hired the Syrians to go to war for you, and you're going to have nothing but war from now on. So see, here we see the fruit of fear in his life. And what's the fruit? The fruit is, from now on, you're going to have wars. Many of the problems that we have in our life, we bring upon ourselves by not trusting the Lord. Now, if you can't say amen, you need to say ouch, because I know that's a true fact. I mean, it's true. Many of my problems I brought on myself were times when I did not trust the Lord. And so the fruit of King Asa was, from now on, you will have wars. The second one, autophobia, the fear of being alone. John 16:32, Jesus said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So, yeah, John 16:32-33. Now Jesus is telling them that everybody's going to be scattered, and he's going to be alone. Autophobia is the fear of being alone. But what did Jesus say? "But I'm not alone, because the Father's with me." Now, if a person has autophobia, they should say, "Well, I'm not alone. God is with me." Now, that sounds real spiritual, unless you have autophobia. And then, you know, it's a bit of a challenge. You know, in Genesis, God tells us it's not good for man to be alone. So how do you reconcile that with autophobia? Well, nobody likes to be alone, but there's a difference between not really being with someone and maybe being sad, or experiencing fear because you're alone. That's a different thing. Now, Jesus did experience aloneness, even though he said, "Well, I'm not alone, the Father's with me," because when we go to Matthew 27, verse 46, as he's on the cross, the ninth hour, he cries, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I take comfort in that, because it means that Jesus experiences every phobia we experience. I mean, at that moment, he experienced the fear of God no longer being with him. He had never experienced that before. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I think every phobia was nailed to the cross in Jesus, don't you? I mean, when you think about that, Jesus, the Bible says, experienced everything yet without sin. Just because he experienced and cried, my God, doesn't mean he sinned, but he experienced it. He experienced the sheer fear of loneliness in a way that he had never experienced it before. So we're talking about the fruit of giving in to fears. What would have been the fruit if Jesus had not wanted to feel forsaken by the Father? We'd all be going to hell, wouldn't we? That's a pretty big fruit, isn't it? I mean, if Jesus, who was tempted, knew what it was, and he did, he knew that, you know, his sins would separate him from the Father, he's like, "This is too much. I can't do this." Yeah, but all of humanity is good. "I don't care. I'm this is freaking me out. I can't do this." It's one thing, the physical pain, but being separated from the Father, I don't want to feel that. That scares me, right? That sounds silly that I'm speaking that way. We know the Lord didn't do that, but it brings home that feeling that is deliberate, that is horrific to people who experience the fear of being alone. So with that being said, I know a person who, after a divorce, rebounded and remarried way too soon. Though he didn't recognize it at the time, he had a fear of being alone because that was me. And I've experienced that, and I still experience that sometimes. I feel panic attacks sometimes. That's not right. It shouldn't be that way. But you may not ever get over your phobia, but you have to learn the fruit of it can cause problems. You have to. It's like, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. You don't run from it, you walk through it, right? You walk through your fears. And the third one is paniphobia, which is the fear of poverty. You know, they say, like I've mentioned earlier, that the roots of those are sometimes triggered by events in the past. And I was reading that people who went through the Great Depression, oftentimes when they died, they would find money behind the wallpaper, in the mattresses, in tin cans, all hidden throughout their house, because they had this phobia or fear that they would have to go through that again, where there's no food to eat at all and no money. And so that's a real fear, which brings us to, let's go ahead and turn over to Matthew 19. Most of us are familiar with this passage. Matthew 19. And we're going to begin reading at verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good. No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack?" And Jesus said, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Or we might say, great possessions had him, right? And so this paniphobia is this fear of poverty or not having stuff or money or whatever. And so this young ruler was not willing to give up what he had, because that frightened him, apparently, more than God. We read earlier, Jesus said, "Don't fear man, but fear God, who can destroy the body and soul in hell." And Jesus tells him, do this, and he can't do what Jesus asked him to do because he is paralyzed with fear of not having what he has. My sister, I guess this is family confession day or something. My sister at one time had two or three restaurants in Corpus Christi. She had a muffin shop near a hospital that was grossing who knows how much money, all these doctors and people going by buying their bagels and muffins before work. She had a cart in the mall and a restaurant, and she sniffed it all up her nose. And then she lived on the beach in Corpus for a while in a shack. About the time my mother passed away, she moved in with my dad. And I shudder to go to the house because she's a hoarder. And there's just trails to walk through the house that I grew up in. My mother would turn over in her grave. And I'm not dissing my sister. We talked about triggers, the traumas that happened that cause people to be hoarders or to have to save these things. But a fear of being alone is a lack of trust in the Lord. I forgot to say that on the last one. And a fear of poverty is a lack of trust in the Lord. You have to trust that the Lord will take care of you and not give in to the fears, because when we give in to the fears, then there is fruit that comes. Wrong decisions get made. In my case, my sister in that house, in her case. And so God put 365 fear nots in the Bible for a reason. It's not just the fearing, it's the action that comes from fearing. So, how to not fear? How do I let go? Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will not fear. Your rod and your staff comfort me. We have to trust that God will take care of us in the time of fear. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. There's so much in that verse. I could preach a whole sermon on it. I'm not going to. The enemy of trusting the Lord is our own understanding. You know, it says, lean not to your own understanding. And the enemy to trusting the Lord is our own understanding. It's our intellect that says, I got to take care of this problem. I can't stand being alone. I gotta go out and find a woman. I'm laughing at myself because I'm confessing my sins in front of the church. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay to be transparent. It's okay to admit. You know, the Bible says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I don't think there's enough of that happens in the church. We come in and we put on our Christian face and we act like we got it all together, when the healing comes from being real and admitting we don't have it all together, and admitting that sometimes we go through things. And the enemy of trusting the Lord is leaning to our own understanding and thinking, well, I can fix this problem. I don't want to walk through that valley. It's dark, it's cold. I'd rather just fix it so I don't have to walk through it. You know, I was talking to a lady one time, and this is years ago, and never thought I would be that lady. Not literal. But she told me, she said, I was married to so-and-so for 20-something years, and we got a divorce. And then I married this guy, and then I married this guy, and then I married this guy, and I realized that he was still the best thing that ever happened to me. And, you know, I think that happens a lot, and people are maybe scared of being alone, and they make poor decisions. The enemy of trusting the Lord is leaning to your own understanding, thinking, I can fix this thing, instead of just being willing to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though it's scary. The pride of man is his intellect. Our intellect tries to fix our problems ourselves rather than just waiting on the Lord. King Asa's intellect said, I'll hire the Syrian army and they'll save me. And because of that, he said, from now on you're going to have wars. The prophet said, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God. Relied on the Lord. And I'm sure that we will all have things that haunt us regarding our fears. But we're commanded by the Lord not to give in. We're commanded to trust in the Lord. We're commanded to fear not. And we're commanded to lean not to our own understanding. When you're experiencing a phobia, these would be three verses or three statements. Trust in the Lord. Fear not. Not going to lean to my own understanding. And it won't change overnight. It may not change at all. But it will help us to avoid the bitter fruit of wrong decisions. Lean not to your own understanding. Come on up, Nola. Lean not to your own understanding. If you don't lean to your own understanding, where are you going to lean? Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Notice this great old hymn says learning. It's a process, isn't it? Finding more power than I've ever dreamed, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. As a Christian, we should be learning. We call it growing. Sad, brokenhearted, at the altar I knelt, I found peace that was so serene. And all that he asked is a childlike trust and a heart that's learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. Learning to lean on Jesus. There's a glorious victory each day now for me. I've found peace so serene. He helps me with each task, if only I'll ask. Every day now, I'm learning to lean. Isn't that good? He helps me with each task, if only I'll ask. Every day I'm learning to lean, learning to lean. Nola, do you have that in your repertoire? Okay, that's all right. If I'd have thought, I would have texted you yesterday. Let's sing the chorus together. Just learning to lean. Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for each person here. I pray, Lord, that you would give us, Lord, that special dose of your Holy Spirit, that in times of fear, we recognize that making decisions out of fear can often bring negative results in our life. Though it may be scary, Lord, help us by your grace, by your Spirit, to walk through that valley shadow of death and not fear, for you're with us, and help us to learn to lean. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You got another song? We can sing it as a
or you can do your spirit song
or whatever. How about a victory in Jesus? How's that? You got that one?
I don't have
that's all right. Well, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. One more time. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. God bless you guys. 229. Okay, Lloyd found it. He wants to sing it all. Somebody grab me a book and find some more books. Well, I don't want to take yours, Karen. You don't need it. You got it memorized. Oh, that's a different book, though. There used to be. Oh, there's a bunch up here. Never mind. Well, that's all right. 229. You need one, too? You got one? Is that the same as this one, though? Well, you know, some of them have different words and different courses. Let's see here. Yeah, okay. Save that one. I'll use this one. I already got it. Thank you, though. Anytime you're ready, sis. Oh, we're still waiting on a few people. Here, Rick, there's some up here.
old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life from Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I then obeyed his blessed command and gained the victory.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Yes, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior
forever.
He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus this morning? Lord, bless the people as we go our separate ways. Help us to have victory in our lives, walking in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.